Okay. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time that you've given us to look into your word, and we ask that the words that are heard are the ones that you have for us, and that the error may fall upon deaf ears. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. My Bible study is about lust, and the first scripture is going to seem a little odd, I think, but it's 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. Okay. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise governments. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Okay, we're focusing on the word lust there. And these people have fallen to a lust that has them despising governments and despising people who are set over them. And the word chiefly here is means these people are the worst. They are morally corrupt. And at the beginning of the verse, we have the Lord knows what? He knows how to deliver the godly. So he's telling us, don't worry about these other people who are stirring the pot. And you don't even have to worry about the worst of them. For a long time, one of these people that was stirring the pot was me. I used to get really upset about a lot of things that were happening in the government, and I would speak out about it and go as far as to buy a lot of ammo for it. But that's passed. I've sold almost all of them. So this right here, these people that have fallen to that lust, I know that lust. Okay, so now we're going to jump down here to verse 11. Where angels which are greater in power and might bring not railing accusations against them before the Lord. So we have angels that won't even speak evil of these dignities and these powers. Yet I see the way that they're spending tax money and things like that, and I think that I got to say something about it. I've got to do something about it. You know, they've got to be gotten rid of, you know, because they're so bad. And I had forgotten Daniel chapter 2 verse 21 amongst many other scriptures. So let's flip to Daniel 2:21. Daniel 2:21, and he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. God sets up kings and kingdoms, and he deposes them. You know, not me. We have another verse that is very similar to this in the book of Psalms, Psalm 75. Psalm 75, verse 7. But God is just. He putteth down one and set up another. God's responsibility to worry about those things, not mine. Don't worry about those people. even the worst of those people that are stirring the pot. And then back to Peter, but 1 Peter chapter 2. verse 13 through 15. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to a king as supreme or unto governors, as unto them that are set up by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. So, part of this problem here is submission. So, Romans 7:7. We were just there not too long ago. Romans 7:7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But we have the word lust appearing twice in there. The word covet is lust, and then lust is lust. So, by the law, we can see not just sin, but we can see lust. Romans 7:8. But sin takes occasion by the commandment wrought in me all manner of... What's the word, Holland? Yep, coveting. For without the law, sin was dead. So, the law, God sets a law, and it provokes rebellion. Because you're told something you're supposed to do, but you can't do it. And then when you do it, it's by your own power, and you've fallen anyway. And here it says that I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet, or thou shalt not lust, desire something that doesn't belong to you. So I have a question here. No one had ever had a desire before the law? No. They hadn't known that it was wrong before the law. Judges chapter 21:25. One of the reasons why they didn't know is right here. In those days there was no king in Israel. And this is speaking about the nature of it, because this is, you know, of course, after Moses, so they had a law. But in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Your conscience is able to be programmed by the things that you see. So when those that existed before the law, the things that they saw would program their conscience, would program their desires, because you can't desire things that you don't see or don't know about. So there's some visual input there. Deuteronomy 5:21. This is the law. Neither shalt thou desire thy neighbor's wife, neither shalt thou covet thy neighbor's house, his fields, or his manservants, or his maidservants, or his ox, or his ass, or anything that is thy neighbor's. So now you have a law not to covet. And so what are they going to do now then? It's like the kid in the cookie jar. Tell him, keep your hand out of the cookie jar. There's two things going on. The last thing you said is the first thing that they process, cookie jar. And then the don't do it. And then the rebellion kicks in. So you have two things acting against them that makes it to where they cannot do what Israel said that they would do. So so Proverbs 13:4. The soul of the sluggard desire or lusts and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be fat. So I'm seeing here that the soul of the sluggard desires. So I'm seeing a desire that is coming from the soul. And also in Proverbs 21:10. The soul of the wicked desires or lusts evil. His neighbor findeth no favor in his eyes. So the soul of the wicked has desire of evil. Back to 1 Peter chapter 2. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which wars against the soul. It comes from the soul, and it wars against the soul. Just like the law, when it was set forth, was against itself. You couldn't keep it. And this soul here has something that is causing itself corruption. First John 2:16. First John 2:16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. So we have some lusts here that also come from the world. So you have lust that comes from your soul. You have lust that comes from your flesh. And then that soul wars against those lusts. Psalms 81. Psalms 81:11. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. Second Peter again, 2, but up top on verse 9. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. Titus 2:12. Titus 2:12. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. The worldly lust is supposed to be denied. That And I look at this word denied, and it means to reject or disavow. First Corinthians 10:6. Now we see these things were our example, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. When talking about their lusts, it wasn't a positive example, it was a negative example. In Galatians 5:16. Galatians 5:16. This I say, then walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So we have lusts that come from your flesh and lusts that come from the world, and both have been given an out. James 1. James 1:15. Then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. So now you have a progression. What happens first, second, and last? And when it comes from the flesh, you have a way out, and when it comes from the world, you have a way out. Second Peter 1:4. Second Peter 1:4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You have a promise that God would deliver you, and he shows you, if you walk by means of the Spirit, that you can escape lust. And even if that lust comes from the world, there's still an escape again. You know that it's programmed through your eyes. The things that you see, you can lust after. So what do? You're supposed to deny those things. And more than just making a law for yourself that no internet, no TV in your house. That might be something you've decided. But if you walk by means of the Spirit, you will not fulfill them. So if you order the daily events of your life, and that might be one of the things you have to do to order the daily events of your life. Second Peter. Oh, got done. And then back to, it all goes back to Judges again. So what they saw right in their own eyes, that's what they did. So your conscience is programmed, and your desires, you can't desire something that you don't know about. So 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all with open face behold as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, I know this isn't directly talking about the things that you see you become, but that connection to God, that beholding, the stronger you... No, that's the wrong word. You've got two ropes to tug on, two connections. You have a connection to God, and you have a connection to the flesh. And at any time, you can switch from one rope to the next. So, and those lessons only come through connection. And the more connections you have, then the more ropes you have to draw that direction. Why not spend your time connecting to God instead? That's it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.